Good morning. To continue our study of Joel's spiritual power of truth, we are on chapter 8, not good or evil, not good, not bad. But before we begin, please close your eyes and have a quiet time. Pull within here and make that contact with the infinite invisible, your very own being, and invite it to illumine your study. Invite it to reveal itself to you. Rest back, Father. This is a very deep talk. In fact, Joel says this is the most difficult lesson there is. But if you assimilate, practice, demonstrate this lesson, there will never be a need for another one. It is that important. And so he begins with, let's get to the most difficult part of our work at once. The religious literature of the world is in agreement that the only devil there is ourselves. By ourselves, I mean my Joel self, your Bill self, your Mary self. It is that part of us which can have hurt feelings or hurt bodies. That part of us which can have fears one day and joys another day. You stop being a bad human in religion and begin becoming a good one. You stop being sick and become well. You stop your bad temper and have a good temper. However, that has no relationship to a spiritual way of life. No relationship. Church, and especially the right sense of church, can be a great blessing to us. We are in church whenever we are assembled in a place for the purpose of communion with God. So this morning we are in church. We are in church whenever we are assembled in a place for the purpose of communion with God, where two or more can be together as spiritual unfoldment takes place. If you are there to be assembled in one place in order that the Spirit of God may permeate you and the truth of God may reveal itself to you, if you are assembled there to hear the Word of God, then you are in church, the real church. When we come together in the infinite way, having as our purpose this uniting in the Spirit, We do not come to worship a far-off God, nor do we meet to influence God on our behalf. We come to bring ourselves into alignment with the God or spiritual laws that have always existed, exist now, and forever will exist. So you must accept the responsibility that is yours as an Infinite Way student, and realize that it is up to you as an individual for what degree of progress you make. The degree of unfoldment that takes place at any given time is not up to you. Some, by their very natures, achieve more quickly than others. But aside from that, the acceptance is the difficult part, because one is getting back to the overcoming of self. No one can do that for you but you. We come into this room, and what do we find here? We find love, cooperation, mutualness, some measure of joy, and above all things, integrity is here. How did it get here? It wasn't here before we came. We brought integrity with us. The place whereon thou standest is holy ground. The place whereon I stand is holy ground. And you bring the holiness. It must be the recognition of the Father within you. Now, in that spirit, you see that we came together in love, harmony, peace, and joy. So you can see that the responsibility of your life is upon you. Your harmony is upon you. God is here, and God's law is here. The responsibility rests upon you and me to come into harmony with God's law. God's law is love. Love is the fulfilling of the law. It means the recognition of God as individual being. You are only loving your neighbor as yourself when you are agreeing that God is the individuality, the life, mind, soul, and spirit of individual being. All right, now, are we doing that? Half of this country I live in, called the United States of America, half of this country is feeling depressed and down because somebody named Harris lost an election. Half of this country is feeling glee, joy, because someone named Trump won the election. None of that has anything to do with this, because we should be looking through that person. We should be looking through that other person and seeing life, mind, soul, and spirit of individual being is God. God is. You find your sufficiency in yourself, capital S. When you use that term, self-sufficient, give it a capital S, meaning you find your sufficiency in yourself. And self means God. You find your sufficiency in yourself, within your own being, within the God being of you. You do not look outside to me, or to him, or to her, or to it. You find it within your own God being. Now, in doing that, you set me free, because now you have no responsibility for my demonstration, and no responsibility for your neighbor's demonstration. Nobody else concerns you. You are responsible only for your demonstration. This is the truth about your family. Realize they are self-sufficient and stop trying to make their demonstrations. This message today couldn't come through except that you are drawing it through. With different students, it could be an entirely different type of message. You are drawing this message that God may reveal itself, and I am merely the instrument through which God is fulfilling its need. Our first way of cooperating is self-sufficient, self-maintained, and self-sustained by the inner selfhood. You see how that clarifies the Master's teaching, I have meat the world knows not of? I have all that within me. So have you. Now you come to realize that for yourself, and you come to realize that for the world. This is a universal truth, and one by one, our friends wake up to self, capital S, self-sufficiency. Through this realization of self-sufficiency, through this realization that God is individual being, through this realization that God is the soul and the mind and the spirit, the law unto all being, this becomes the highest form of love. So we are told to love our enemies. Are we doing that? You love your neighbor as yourself in that same way, through the realization, thank you, Father. At least I know that God is individual being. God is the being of this individual, the life, the mind, the soul. That is the highest form of love, the loving of your neighbor as yourself, and it means no mental or physical interference in another's life. The second form of love is found in chapter 25 of Matthew. I was a-hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. Inasmuch as ye did it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So, we are to love our enemies. That's right up there, one of the top commandments from God. And how do we love our enemies? We love them by realizing God is individual being. We look at someone and we look through them. Maybe I don't like that person. Maybe I like them. I must drop all that. Look through that, behind that. God is individual being. And so first is realization, and then comes service. First I know, and then I do. We can provide forms of human good, not by undertaking to live people's lives for them or to control them, but by those spiritual graces that inform us of some temporary need. We have the grace to share and then go on about our business without any sense that we did it, because we didn't. It is God's grace that meets one's sufficiency. So, we say, oh yes, Lord. Yes, I want to follow you. And he says, or it says, okay, then love your neighbor as yourself. Love your enemies. How? How am I to love my enemies? First, realize God is individual being. Right where I'm looking, God is individual being. Second, I serve God through you. Maybe you're lacking, or I just feel moved to give you something. So I do. But when I do something for you, I recognize it's not Bill. God is working through me. And I love God by serving you. By serving you, I serve God. And so I recognize oneness, and then I act on it by serving God. Now, am I doing that to Harris? Am I doing that to Trump? Have I got so bogged down that I'm seeing these personalities and I'm believing whatever press I'm listening to? Then I am hypnotized. I'm living in the world of opposites. Oh, and I have so many opinions. Just ask, or maybe even you don't have to ask, and I'll give you my opinion anyway. There is only one way to overcome the Bill self, the Joel self, the Mary self. Never accept your errors as though they were yours. Remember, they are impersonal errors victimizing you. By recognizing that no quality of God is yours, even if you know the truth or bring out a healing, or even if you do meet the rent for them, you don't get any feeling that it was you. Whatever good is performed through us is an activity of God, for which we are just the instrument. Whatever evil we do, whatever bad we do, is a temporary falling under the spell of world hypnotism. And what struck me with that paragraph is, whatever good is performed is an activity of God. There's no person there. Whatever bad we do is a temporary falling under the spell of world hypnotism. There is no person there. Now, it is at this point that we come to the most difficult part of overcoming the self. Now, this chapter could be called Overcoming the Self with a small s. This is the most difficult part. There is one thing we would all like to retain, and that is our opinions. We all have the conviction that we are entitled to our opinions, And that, of course, is the last stand of the devil self. Because we are not entitled to our opinions. We are not permitted to judge. All of your opinions have to go. All of my opinions have to go. The Infinite Way student has already come to the place where he can say, no, it is not up to me to condemn or judge, so I am withholding all judgment about this. As for the other half, well, we can't even judge the good. We can't even look at a healthy person and say, they are good and healthy. We cannot judge. We cannot have an opinion. We cannot even be satisfied with good in the human picture. Why is he harping on that? On opinions? Because he has discovered the way to freedom. He has found a way to live. Not in the world of opposites. He has found a way to live in a universe of conscious union with God. Well, we say, I want that. And then we turn on the news and we're in agreement. God dang that candidate. I cannot believe half of the country feels that way when they should feel that this way. You see? Oh, I want that. But I want this. I want spiritual living, but I want opinions. I want spiritual living, but I want to see good, and I want to see bad turned into good. And it's so subtle, very subtle. We don't even see it sometimes. You step outside in the morning, you've just had a wonderful meditation, you step outside in the morning and, oh, the first feeling of fall, that's wonderful. We get into the car to go to work and we turn the key and nothing happens. Oh no. We're already trapped and don't even know it. So then we come to a place that determines what degree of healing work we are ever going to be able to do. That is so important. Look at that sentence. We come to a place that determines what degree of healing work we are ever going to be able to do. If you think for a moment that you will be happy to see a sick person get well, a bad person become good, you might as well give up your hopes right now of attaining any great degree of progress in a spiritual ministry. A spiritual ministry says you are spiritual. That is the actuality of your being. It is not good nor bad. It is not healthy nor unhealthy. The truth of your being is God. God is the reality of your being. You dare not have any judgment other than that. Now he's getting down to the nitty-gritty. He's getting down to where the rubber meets the road. He's getting down to the very point itself. When a patient says the fever is 114, you cannot come to the opinion whether it is bad, and therefore you must do something about it. And when it is down to 100, you can't say, isn't that fine? Rather, it is the death of selfhood, your selfhood, when you can have no reaction to good or bad humanhood. That's an important line. Underline it, highlight it. It is the death of selfhood when you can have no reaction to good or bad humanhood. Now, let us not trick ourselves and say, well, this person was healed. This is spiritually good. No, that's just another opinion hiding under that disguise. Well, this person suffered because of their karma. That's an opinion. That's not the truth. You are lying to yourself. Or yourself is lying to you. It is the death of selfhood when you can have no reaction to good or bad humanhood. It is the ultimate death of personal self when you no longer react to the human good or the human bad, the human evil. Now, he has told us for, in my case, over 50 years that the only obstruction to communion with God is personal self, personal sense of life. Here, he says, it is the ultimate death of that personal self when you no longer react to the human good or the human evil. This is the difficult part of this work. This is the difficult part of the spiritual path. Judge not, that ye be not judged. You see? We are living in the world of good and evil. We are living in the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And we've been living there for century after century after century. Now, at long last, we are being presented with the truth and with the tools which we can pick up and practice living in conscious communion with God, seeing through the images of good or the images of evil, seeing behind all that to God as individual being. You are being called . Many have been insured and died before the first premium was due. Or it may be that a person looks at his list of investments and leans back on that. Then the bottom drops out of the market, or something else happens in the human scene, and all of a sudden they are thrown for a loop. Yes, they were judging by appearances. Do you see that? One day we have peace in the world. The next day, war in the world. One day it was the good old days, and the next day the horrible days of old. If you take undue censure of the evil and undue pleasure of the good, in either case, sooner or later, you come to trouble. So you ask, are we not supposed to enjoy the good things? Can I not go to the mountains and sit beside a stream and marvel at how peaceful it is? Can I not go to the ocean? Look out of my room at night and see the fluorescence in the water? And see how beautiful it is? Try to understand. Those are mental images, no matter how good they look. We are learning, teaching ourselves to move behind those images. Yes, right there as you're listening to the stream. Go within and listen to the Father. Right there as you're looking at the fluorescent waves. Go within and look at God as individual being. It's time to come home to the living God. God's not in those images. God is behind those images. Now, what about stepping outside and the Wild West of California and seeing that your house is on fire and seeing that the woods around you are on fire and realizing that you only have a few moments to grab everything you can and stuff it in the car and hightail it out of there? Your house is going up in flames. Well, it's horrible. It's horrible. Just turn on the news and they'll tell you. They'll interview people that tell you in tears how horrible it is. You turn on the radio. The news is on. You were hoping for music, but the news is on. And they're telling you how horrible the world would be under Kamala Harris. You change the channel. Another station. This one's telling you how horrible the world would be under Donald Trump. Oh my God, they can't both be bad. They can't both be good. And there you stop. You turn off the radio. Ah, I'm being hypnotized. Mental images that started way back with Adam. This one's good, that one's bad. I have opinions. You want to hear them? No, I don't either. So I'm going to be still right there in my car. And I can be driving and be still because stillness is not standing still. Stillness is within yourself, an absence of opinions, an absence. And there in the stillness, as we drive along, we can recognize God is individual being. These images out here, they're nothing. Nothing. They're not even personal. They're impersonal. Impersonal nothingness. Now, Father, reveal thyself. And I drive along and I hear within myself, it is I. Be not afraid. Oh. That's right. It is I. Now, if you keep constantly before your vision the infinite invisible, which is what I is, then you are judging righteous judgment because you are never certain that I am good or bad. rich or poor, sick or well. Now what about the infinite invisible? If your faith, reliance, and hope are in the conviction of the infinite invisible, you will find that infinite invisible visibly appearing. Now that's the secret right there. He repeats it later on. You don't have to come back to the human picture. It will change automatically. All right, so here is the secret. You will find the infinite invisible visibly appearing. And I wrote in the margin, because when you see good or evil, you are looking at the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And then you will act on it, completely mesmerized. You create your world of good and evil, or you withdraw your vision and place it on the infinite invisible. And then the infinite invisible will visibly appear. When you look out at a person, place, or condition and call it good or call it bad, you are judging by appearances, and those appearances are subject to change. However, if you look through the appearance to the infinite invisible and say, what is the nature of the infinite invisible? Oh, the infinite invisible is spirit. That ends that. And you don't have to come back to the human picture. It will change, and we call that change healing. So if you're going to look at what the human world calls health or pretty forms, you will have old age, and there won't be any health there. If you keep your vision inward and don't look at the infant and say, isn't it wonderful? Or look at the 80-year-old person and say, oh, isn't that too bad? But look to the center of their being and realize the nature of the infinite invisible. You can but bring to yourself and to others the true vision. Now, if you are looking at an infant and saying, isn't it wonderful? You're judging that appearance. And in the realm of opposites, next week it may develop pneumonia. If you look at the 80-year-old person and say, oh, that's too bad. Isn't that too bad? Next week they may feel great, go off on a cruise somewhere. I've known 80-year-olds that give really good spiritual talks. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is it. Angel says this is the most difficult part of this path. Learning, practicing, demonstrating, no judgment, standing still and bearing witness to the activity of God. Immortality is never achieved in the outer. It is in you. The moment you catch the glimpse of God as the only being, you have attained immortality. But if you expect a person to attain it, they will only achieve longevity. Now, when I was reading this and studying and taking every few paragraphs and becoming still, I had a revelation. I'm going to share it with you because I know you will take it within and silently, secretly, sacredly hold it. It came to me. A human being cannot be resurrected. She said, "Yes, Lord, I know my brother will be resurrected at the last day." And Christ turned on her, and this was the Christ of her own being, and said, "I am the resurrection. Christ is the resurrection." Now, we all here in the Western world, if we went to church as children, we all grew up with the belief that someday there would be a judgment day. The world would come to an end, and everybody would come out of the graves, and individual souls would be judged and resurrected. Or resurrected and judged. But Christ told me, no human being can be resurrected. And so all of that goes out the window. Christ told me, I am the resurrection. It is I. I am resurrected. How? By your vision. You look behind the graves. Even the graves that are walking around, you look behind them. No matter how good they look, no matter how evil they look, you look behind them, and behold, I come quickly. And so we are going to learn, we are learning to live not in a tree of knowledge of good and evil. We are learning to live in conscious union with God. When you have seen that God is my life, again, you have died to the selfhood called age, the running down and failure of faculties. Never try to treat you or me for health, or age, or wealth. Recognize the infinite invisible as the only age or health or wealth of man. The infinite invisible as the capacities of man. You see, the body itself has no capacity. It is an instrument. But it is an instrument for your beliefs or for your knowing. You can make it an instrument of belief by asking, how old are you? How big are you? And what is its degree of health? Then the body will show forth every belief in the world. The tree of knowledge will manifest as your body. On the other hand, you can make a spiritual instrument of your body by knowing God is its strength, its age, the measure of its capacity. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. There's not a word about muscles and bones. I can do all things through Christ, which is my own strength and life. I can bring forth wisdom and art, music and literature through Christ, which is my spirituality or my artistic capacity. So we have really two choices. I can let the belief in good, the opinions of good, and the opinions of evil, of bad, I can let them form my body, my world, my mind, my life. Or I can renounce all that. Wear all that like a loose garment. I can look behind, I can step behind, I can rest behind the veil. And I can know consciously God is individual being. And I can rest in that. And then God being appears as body, as home, as life, as mind. Not as opinions, but as truth. Choose ye this day whom you will follow, God or the tree of knowledge of good and evil. This is so important. Please take this seriously. If I think I have something of my own stored up in my brain, well, then I limit it. If I believe that my capacity is in proportion to my education and experience, I limit it. However, when I can know the invisible Christ is my eternality, the invisible Christ is my strength, the invisible Christ is my being, the invisible Christ is the measure of my manhood or womanhood. You see, I have placed the entire light of my being in my Christhood, or in my invisible selfhood. When you begin to understand that for your neighbor, that is loving your neighbor as yourself. Yes, and when you begin to understand that for your enemy, that is loving your enemy as yourself, which we were instructed to do. Here we have a nation of 300 million people, and it's divided right down the center. And half of the people are judging the other half. And the other half are judging the first half. When the instruction is, love your neighbor as yourself. Recognize God as individual being. Are you doing that? Well, it's about time you started. Unless, of course, you want to repeat this experiment again. And again, and again, and again. That is loving your neighbor as yourself. You are acknowledging the same selfhood for your neighbor as yourself. And this works miracles. We are responsible for our concept of our neighbors. And we should say, I don't care whether you are well or sick. I don't care if you are good or bad. I am relying on your Christhood. In that moment, you have killed off yourself, your opinions, that which feels a personal responsibility, a sense of joy or sorrow. Oh, thank you, my candidate won. Let's celebrate. Or, oh my God, I can't believe we lost. I just can't believe it. Oh, Boo-hoo. Both of those extremes are going to keep you locked into living in the universe of the knowledge, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Stepping behind all of that, I have no opinions. I don't care. Now, Father, reveal thyself. I can come into the conscious awareness of the living God, the presence behind all that, functioning now, right now. In that moment, you have killed off yourself, that which feels a personal responsibility, a sense of joy or sorrow. You have killed that off the moment you no longer have a personal reaction of sorrow toward the subnormal and a reaction of good toward the supernormal. I disregard both of those in the realization of your spiritual selfhood. And it is perfect. It is intact. It is complete. Abide in that rather than take a human being and try to change them. Now, Christ says, abide in me. And here he says, abide in that. Your spiritual selfhood is perfect, intact, complete. It is complete. Abide in that me. You must find what it means to live the mystical life. Really live it. The life that is consciously one with God. I am consciously one with God only when I realize that God is my being and is individual being. Therefore, I may not look at a person, a place, a circumstance, or a condition and have any opinion other than looking through it and beholding spirit. I am not knowing anything or anyone, good or bad. Now, the difficulty is that when someone calls up and asks for help, instinctively, you know that this condition is bad, and you want to do something about making it good, whether declaring or meditating or getting in touch with the Spirit. No matter what it is, your first reaction is, oh, here is a condition, an evil. That is where you have to start dying daily. You! Because you can't react that way anymore. You can't call it good. You can't call it evil. And even when they say, oh, I feel better, you can't call that good. You are still standing on the fact of infinite spirit, God never changing. Now, I said to begin with that this lesson is the most difficult lesson. Because if you can learn this lesson, there won't be a need for any others. Take that seriously. This is not just words. Take these tools you're being given. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Here is the way to step into it consciously and live in it forevermore. We will be entirely dead in our selfhood and thoroughly alive in our conscious union with God when we do not judge. So this is how you become consciously one with God. That is the entire story of Adam. and the labels on everything, calling some things good and some things evil. That is the Adamic nature, to put these labels on appearances. You are of that nature as long as you are putting judgment on person, place, circumstance, or condition. In proportion as we overcome the Adamic nature of our being, we no longer sit in judgment. We look through the individual and become more and more aware of our Christhood, and never have any sense of our humanhood at all. You can actually commune with animals and have no sense of their animal nature at all. You can carry it further and be completely at one with all nature. Those of you who are familiar with Jacob Bohme, the old German cobbler and mystic, know of his spiritual experience, beholding reality in place of the natural trees and flowers. It was all a oneness of life. In absolute consciousness, there is no loss of identity. I remain myself, and you remain yourself, and yes, there is no place where one begins and the other ends. Now I want you to hear something. This is something I wrote down in 79, I think it was, when I attended a Herb Fitch class in Avila Beach. The class was Healing Outside of Time. Essentially, I'm going to read to you what I wrote here the very next, well, that night. Essentially, it had to do with stepping outside of time in a meditation to be able to let go of any illusion. During the class, I had my eyes closed, and I went deeply into the silence of my being. While sitting there, I suddenly felt lifted up above my body. I was on a higher plane, another level of consciousness. When I opened my eyes, I was still sitting in the class, but everything had changed. Herb called for a 15-minute recess, and I went outside, and what I saw amazed me. In every direction I looked, I saw and felt my own infinite presence. Yet, also, I still felt my individual self. Now, what did we just hear from Joel here? From Jacob? In absolute consciousness, there is no loss of identity. And I wrote, I still felt my individual self. And yes, there is no place where one begins and the other ends. Remember that. I looked at the trees. I looked at the ocean. And I felt myself in the ocean and the ocean in me. I looked at the trees and I felt myself in the trees and the trees in me. I looked at the sky and I could feel the sky within my being and my being in the sky. And what surprised me was I looked at buildings and automobiles and electric wires and telephone poles, and I felt my being inside of them and them inside my being. Now I looked at the people standing around me, and I felt my face on theirs and their faces on mine. It was impossible to tell where they left off and I began. I felt a oneness with all life, and I knew, without any shadow of a doubt, God is. I am. God is. Now that's exactly the experience here of Jacob Bohme. This is what happens, he says, when you are working for anyone and you come to any period of stillness and then get a quickening, a relaxing. What is actually happening is that you are becoming aware of spiritual selfhood. You are then in communion with spiritual selfhood. You have touched their reality and found that it is well. That grows upon you so that you not only touch the reality of your patient, later on you begin to become aware of it through others during the day. Then life is a complete communion with God. Now, I had the experience, 45 years ago? Why has it taken so long to get to the point where I'm consciously dying to self? Well, I had a whole lifetime to live, and though I remained on the outskirts, touching the center from time to time, here in my latter years I have discovered I need to complete this time around, and I am ready, and I am practicing what he is giving us to do. And I invite you to come with me. Come on, let's step behind this veil. Let's see what the Father has prepared for us. I go and prepare a place for you. This is that place. So, he says to the people, you are not sitting in a room full of people. You are feeling behind the appearance. That flow of love, or peace, or communion, that's something that isn't human. That is a something, an invisible, intangible flow that is just going back and forth and has nothing to do with humanhood. This is recognition of true identity. This is communion with true identity. This is the realization. And that is the realization that should exist in marriage. When a couple finds something in each other deeper than external appearances, then the marriage can be said to have been made in heaven, and we can say, what God has joined together, no man can put asunder. If you ever come in contact with the individual with whom you have something beyond common interest, even something deeper than religion, that is the relationship that is understood as communion with the Christ, called the mystic marriage, or oneness. Then the relationship has gone beyond the physical and the mental into a union with the Christ. Now, in healing work, you find a strong attachment between student and teacher, or practitioner and patient, and that is a spiritual bond. We have a way of knowing our reactions to each other without any outward expression, but that only comes with the death of the selfhood. When there is no I that has to say I am grateful, when that I is gone, then the realization is so pure that everything is understood without visible expression. The importance of this is that in facing the world, you do not judge. Not good, not evil. Have no opinion. Now you realize is. As you go to your home or your room, the most natural thing in the world is that somebody is going to come to your thought that you have been helping, or who wants help, someone that is your particular problem, and you are going to have to say, wait a minute, wait a minute. First, outwardly say, I will give you help, because they do not understand where we are in consciousness. But inwardly, You say, what am I to do? I cannot give you help. I cannot tell that you need help. Yet I know I am looking right at you, so that I can see the appearance, and it is sin or disease, lack, limitation, or death. I can see that, but what am I to do with that? Right here, the infinite way will help you. It says that what you are looking at is not a condition. It is an appearance, or a suggestion, or a claim. It is a mental image in thought, but not an externalized condition. Remember, no illusion is ever externalized. So all I can do is see something there, but I am not allowed to judge it, right or wrong. It is an appearance, but not an externalized condition. I don't have to do anything about it there. I only have to do something about it inside my own being. And that something that I have to do is to know that God made all that was made, and it is good, and that ends it. Now you say, what do you mean it is good? Well, let's substitute the word harmonious. God made all that was made, and it is harmonious, and that ends it. Here we are today with an evil person, condition, or disease. The first thing we do is retire within ourselves. I can't call it good. I can't call it evil. So if it is neither good nor evil, what is it? All I can know about it is that it is. What am I looking at? Am I seeing what is or what appears? The minute I can agree that I am seeing an appearance, then I can disregard it. Because behind that appearance is that which is. And in withholding judgment as to whether the situation is good or evil, we create within us something like a vacuum. And into that vacuum, truth rushes. Truth reveals itself as the harmony unto the situation, and we call this judging righteous judgment. Now he says, this is an extremely difficult lesson. It was originally intended for practitioner groups. There is only one way in which you can master it, achieve its understanding, and thereby demonstrate it. Read it again and again. Sometimes all of it at one reading. Sometimes just a section at a time. Continue with this lesson until its inner meaning becomes illumined for you or revealed to you. Miracles will take place in your experience when this lesson becomes alive within you. This is the most difficult lesson in the entire infinite way. And you must take it within yourself. And you must practice 100 times, 300 times a day, every time you catch yourself. Oh, I reached over to get my eraser and toppled my coffee cup onto the floor. Darn it! Wait a minute. This is not bad. This is not good. This is one of those appearances. Well, let me clean it up and then sit in my chair, close my eyes. What is really here, Father? Show me. Reveal the truth of being. And stay with it until you feel consciously at one with that presence. Now, you step outside. It's a beautiful fall morning. You might even smell the wood in someone's chimney. Beautiful. Wait a minute. I am judging. There is wood burning. There is fall colors. There is the coolness in the air. But what does that have to do with my opinions? Nothing. Father revealed the truth of being. And God says within you, it is I. It is all I. And you take a breath and rest back in it. And you feel its movement. You are behind the scenes. And God is. You see? This must be practice and practice and practice until it becomes second nature, or maybe first nature. Some days will be easy and fall into place. Other days will feel like an upward climb. But you have said you want this. You want to live not in the knowledge of good and evil. You want to live in conscious union with God as individual being. Conscious union. This is the path. This is the way. This is the infinite way. Come with me, my friends. Let us step behind the veil. It could be next week, next month, next year. But we will live behind the veil as a permanent dispensation. And I am inviting you to come with me. Come on.